Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is bonus episode number 19. I'm your host Duncan McLeish and welcome to the show. Now bonus episode number 19 is a very special bonus episode. It's one of two bonus episodes you'll be getting this weekend. This very first one, episode 19, is going to cover a review of the brand new psychological thriller Sunchoke, as well as an interview with the director Ben Cressiman. The interview will be coming up right after the break, and then the movie review right after that, so hold on to your butts as we are going to chat to Ben Cressiman, director of Sunchoke, right after this.
I know these tests were made for children.
That doesn't mean you don't have to show me.
I'm worried that you're not taking proper care of yourself. We've come too close to losing you. Too many times. There's a difference in you.
I'm getting better.
Calm down. I'm right here with you.
You're not my mother.
Now you're just being hateful.
That's because I hate you.
Who were you with?
I think I understand what you want.
I've seen every version of you. You can be well if you want to.
There are three levels. One. Go beyond the boundary and straight to three. Would you like to see what that feels like?
I had to be here for you to find me.
Hi everyone and welcome back. So it is my distinct privilege and pleasure at this time to be joined by Ben Cressiman, who is the director of the upcoming horror movie Sunchoke. Hi Ben, how's it going?
It's going great, Duncan. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much for taking some time out of your very busy schedule. You are mere days away from your new movie making its way to theatres and VOD. Can I just first start off by saying that I got a chance to check the movie out last night and was absolutely floored. I thought it was a stunning piece of work. And what kind of struck out to me straight away at the start was how bright the colour palette was, you know, how very beautiful the movie was, and how you don't really shoot much in the dark in this movie. How much of a stylistic choice was that going into this movie, and how difficult is it to shoot a movie which relies so heavily on tension and atmosphere when the majority of it's shot in the daytime?
Well, the great question. That was by design from the beginning. From the very start, one of the big goals for me was I'm from Southern California. I grew up in Los Angeles, and it's a sunny place. That's my life. Is my experience of the world is colored by bright sunshine, and no doubt, much of horror as a genre is predicated on shadow and darkness, what's lurking just beyond what you can see. And so it was definitely a challenge to take, you know, to take those scenes and kind of bring them out into the light, but that was really the goal. Is I wanted to bring horror sort of out into the bright California sunshine, you know. And what I found was certainly shadow and darkness plays great for jump scares and the sort of thrilling heart jumping out of your chest sort of moments that you can get in horror films. But for me, there's really no substitute for the pervading sense of dread that kind of starts to bleed through when you're seeing these increasingly tense and upsetting things happen in broad daylight.
And how much of a challenge was it? You're in a position where, like you say, a lot of those techniques that you know, directors of photography would lean towards for that would be predicated on kind of shadow and dark as well. How was the challenge with you and Matthew and specifically working in the daylight as well? I noticed that the, like you say, the colours are really bright as well. I mean, were there specific times of the day you were looking for to work with shadows, or was it, you know, it's kind of an open palette for as much sunshine as possible?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, there are definitely moments in the film that take place at night and are enhanced by darkness. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the kind of darkness where we can't see what's going on, but just the notion that night has fallen, the world has kind of quieted down, and there are fewer people walking around that could hear you scream or something.
Yeah.
As far as Matthew and I, you know, he, as I said, from the very beginning, that notion of kind of making a daylight horror film, for lack of a better term, was right at the forefront. So when Matthew and I were sitting down and breaking out the script and figuring out the visual vocabulary and the sort of palettes that we were going to be working with, that was always right at the front.
Yeah.
And so any technique that we explored was always predicated on, this is something that's going to involve light and color and is not going to, you know, it doesn't need to rely on anything other than what it is. And ultimately, in those moments, it really becomes about, you know, is what's happening on screen captivating? Are the characters straining to achieve an end that they're being obstructed from? Mm-hmm. And those are the things that grab you.
Yeah.
And so ultimately it became a really interesting both challenge and technique to render all of that tension and terror, you know, with this kind of soothing, lush palette.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the color schemes are phenomenal in this movie. It did kind of take me aback by it, and I think what kind of sells the movie as well is that the story is very dense, but at the same time it's not overpowering. And I thought that the choice of cast, specifically with Sarah Hagen and, you know, everyone's favourite scream queen, Barbara Crampton, was just genius. I mean, Barbara's more recent roles have been played on the side of bad things are usually happening to her, and it was great to see her kind of branch out and play a sinister character, but is she sinister at the same time? How did that pairing come about, and what was it like working with two phenomenal leading actresses?
Well, it essentially we did a really extensive casting and audition process, and that's where Sarah Hagen came through that process. Mm-hmm. And she came in the first time, and I was sort of taken fully aback by, oh, wow, I mean, this is Millie from Freaks and Geeks. I'm a huge fan of Freaks and Geeks. And in that first audition, I couldn't get my head out of that.
Yeah.
But she came back a few times. We always knew that, I mean, she came in and delivered one of the most startling auditions that we had seen. And so we always knew that she was going to be in the movie. But the more time I spent with her, the more I saw her, you know, in those scenes, it became clear that she could really channel this character in a way that brought so much internal life and dimension to a character that is deliberately, you know, kept at some distance from us as far as backstory and sort of motivation, things like that. Barbara Crampton came not via an audition process, but as these things happen, while we were casting, the script was sort of circulating around, and she got a hold of it and read it and really connected with it. And so we started talking. And once we knew that Barbara was interested,
there was really no other choice. I mean, you know, we knew that it had to be her, and it did. And you know, to the second part of your question, working with the two of them, I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, you know, part of it as a director is, you know, you want people to connect with your material. I mean, I wrote the script, I'm making the film, and you want people to feel something when they're reading it. And that was immediately gratifying. There was immediately a sense that we were all looking at the same set of ideas. Mm-hmm. And during the shoot, I mean, you're both Sarah and Barbara are such, I mean, they're so in touch with their craft and so generous with their talent that it really, I mean, for me, it's not that there was very little directing to be done, but there was certainly less because they understood implicitly what the script was going for.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't a lot of going back and forth on, oh, let's try it this way or that. I mean, it was all pretty focused from the beginning. And I mean, I can't say enough how amazing an experience it was to work with, I mean, all three actresses. That, you know, that it calls to mind a scene between Barbara and Sarah that when we were shooting it, it's sort of a quiet, emotional scene between the two of them at the kitchen island. And we were shooting it. It was a morning scene. And the first take, we call cut, and you could hear a pin drop. It was, there was this thick silence in the air. And I turn around, and like at least two crew members had tears in their eyes.
Yeah.
It was an astonishing moment, the kind of thing that as just a fan of films, it's really exciting to just watch. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're seeing this really powerful performance, but it was such an amazing take. But just for safety, as you often do, we got another one, and that's the one that we used in the film because it was even better. You know, I was so fortunate to be able to collaborate with performers of this caliber. It really brought the film to a whole new level.
I mean, furthermore, like the movie deals with kind of intense isolation, paranoia, abandonment issues, and the approach to it feels very fresh, kind of relevant, real, not pantomime, not theatre. You know, it feels very real. I connected to it in a way that I felt like I was watching a script that was a very personal story. I mean, how do you approach the mindset of writing a story and script like that?
Well, I mean, in many ways, it was a very personal story. I mean, it started out essentially as a character study about two very lonely people. Mm-hmm. And I think loneliness is something that we can all identify with on one level or another at different times in our life. And feeling isolated and cut off and unable to properly communicate your feelings and needs to the world. And that kind of a character has always been interesting to me. And in this instance, the depths of the loneliness and the terribly frightening and disturbing places that it takes these characters became too enticing not to explore. And so it really was in many ways a story that came from not personal experience, but, you know, personal reflection.
Yeah.
But ultimately, kind of these characters created a world for themselves that was so far beyond anything that I would ever kind of immediately think of, even when I'm thinking about the deepest, darkest, loneliest moments. Mm-hmm. It became a really interesting synthesis of like pure fiction and something that was really purely personal.
Yeah. Your movie has been in a fairly heavy rotation, traveling around some of the kind of premier top tier horror festivals in the world, the likes of the Stanley Film Festival out in Colorado, Spectre Film Fest, and even making its way across the pond here to Fright Fest. How has that been as a director, getting a chance to take your movie on the road, so to speak?
I mean, it's unquestionably the most exciting and kind of gratifying experience of my life, to be perfectly honest. I mean, this was a process getting to this point. You know, I made a film in 2011 that still really hasn't been seen by anybody. It's a much smaller, very different sort of movie. But I've been sort of waiting to show my work, mm-hmm. essentially since then, and seeing Sunchoke and the amount of really concerted and sincere effort that went into it on the part of everyone involved, from, you know, the cast, every member of the crew. I mean, it's tremendously gratifying to be able to show the film, you know, quite literally to the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, on a sort of personal level, traveling to London for Fright Fest last year was real. I mean, that's a lifetime highlight. Mm-hmm. You know, I had never been, for one, but even more importantly, I was making this big trip to bring something that I made for people to see. Yeah. And that, I mean, it's just so remarkable, and it's been, as I said, truly just one of the most exciting and gratifying experiences I've ever had.
The last question I have for you is one that I tend to ask all directors that I speak to, or anyone in the business, is that the horror genre, as it is a fairly fickle one. It is one that is at times very top heavy with movies, and it can sometimes be a struggle to break your movie through. Now that you have a movie coming out to VOD, like you say, in a way that people can check it out all over the world, what's on the horizon for you as a director? Is it a case of you've made your horror movie, that's one and done, and on to tackle a different genre? Or are you planning another movie within the horror genre? And if so, is there anything you can tell us?
Not much I can tell you, but I can say that I'm definitely planning to continue to work both in and out of the horror genre. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that I can definitely say is a common thread with my work is dark stories grounded by really dynamic characters. Mm-hmm. And so in the way that Sunchoke is sort of a horror of personality, I'm working on two projects right now, and one of them is sort of a horror of coincidence and circumstance. You know, mm-hmm. what happens when the absolutely worst and most unexpected thing finds its way to your doorstep.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's really, you know, it's about exploring different states. It's about exploring different ways of being, and also ways of making films. Horror is a really exciting genre, and as I said, I want to continue to work in it. But I mean, given the opportunity, I'd like to make as many different kinds of movies as fit inside of my kind of creative and emotional register.
Yes. Yeah. That's absolutely fantastic. Like I say, I got an opportunity to check the film out yesterday. Absolutely loved it. I thought it was an incredible, stunning piece of work. It makes its way to theatres on August 5th, and it's available on VOD and iTunes on August 2nd. Thank you very much for taking some time to chat to me, Ben, and I wish you all the success in the future, sir.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped from watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How
be a
did
rough
you watch
movie.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
And welcome back. So let's chat about Sunchoke from 2015, written and directed by Ben Kresemann. The movie stars Christina Amber, Derek Beeville, Jim Bowen, Barbara Crampton, Mary Chesh, Sarah Hagen, Evan Jones, Riley Littman, some other folks in the movie. The IMDb synopsis for this one is Janie's just trying to get well. Short and sweet and right to the point. So first off, let me say that I'm not spoiling this movie, so this will be a non-spoiler review. The reason being is it's only just come out on VOD, and I actually really think you should take some time and check this one out, because I really dug this movie. And I mean, there's a couple of things which instantly put it into the Duncan MacLeish camp of awesome. The first thing is obviously Barbara Crampton's in it, and Barbara Crampton is playing a villain of sorts in the movie, which is a role you don't usually see her in, and I think one that she excels in. I thought she was fantastic in this. The second reason you should check this out is it's absolutely beautifully shot. It's shot in LA, mostly during the day, as you found out from my discussions with Ben. I would say easily 80% of this movie is set during daytime, and somehow the movie manages to sustain a level of tension throughout which shouldn't actually work. The only movie I can think of in recent memory which kind of had an unnerving feel while mostly being shot during the day is Session 9. Session 9 is one of those weird oddities that seems to exist in the daylight, but for whatever reason is absolutely terrifying. I wouldn't say this movie is terrifying, but there is a sense of dread, a sense of anticipation, and a sense of fear which slowly builds up in this movie towards its very climactic end. So without going spoilery, the story is very, very simple. It mostly revolves around Sarah Hagen's character, Janie. Janie is not well, to say things bluntly. She is mostly housebound and under the care of her nanny. Now it's worth stressing that Janie is now an adult, but the family au pair still works with them. The nanny is played by Barbara Crampton, whose character is called Irma, and Irma is constantly trying to what looks like domineer Janie's life, try and limit her contact outside, and we keep being told that it's for her own safety and that something bad happened once before. It appears Janie's father, who appears to be well off as well, he's not at home, has kind of left Irma in charge of the household. And Janie's taken baby steps into getting back out into the real world. Irma teaches her yoga, disciplines her in very weird and kind of unsettling ways. And Janie's trying to get back out into the real world and experience things, and she does one day get to go out and drive in her car, and as she's out driving she sees a woman parked beside her and becomes kind of fairly fixated on this woman. And that's all I'm going to tell you about the story. Let's break it down. Things that really work in this movie, I think Sarah Hagen is absolutely fantastic. I'm a big fan of her previous work. She's been in a lot of horror TV that came out in the time period that I was growing up, so that was a joy to see her playing a really unhinged character, and I think she does that very well. I at no point believe that she was acting. I just thought she was the sort of person that was slightly unhinged. Same can be said for Barbara Crampton. I thought Barbara Crampton's performance was nothing short of spectacular. She is caring, menacing, in equal measure. It's a really fantastic performance. Recently, Barbara Crampton's kind of come back and delved kind of headfirst back into the world of horror, which I can't be happier about. Her limited role in Your Next was fantastic, but We Are Still Here from last year was a fantastic movie. I really, really enjoyed that. I kind of had elements of kind of 1970s Italian kind of supernatural horror in the vein of something like Fulci without the blood and gore. And her performance was fantastic in that. I think she's just great in this. I think she's really, really wonderful. Like I say, it's beautifully shot. There's really warm, rich colours that come from that kind of LA skyline, which kind of permeate throughout the movie. I think the use of sunlight is incredible as well, and it kind of plays into the ambiguity of the title, because like for those out there that know what a sunchoke is, I had to Google it. Sunchoke is basically like an artichoke. It's like a vegetable, but it's nothing to do with this movie, and the director is very obtuse when it comes to explaining what the title actually means, but I think it really works in the context of this movie. The use of the colours is fantastic. The score is amazing, and I actually feel a little bit ashamed that I never asked you in my interview who had scored this movie. It's like a wonderful combination of kind of atmospheric electronics and weird kind of pulsating rhythms that just work really well to amplify the tension within the movie. Overall, I don't necessarily think it is the most original story that I've ever seen, but working on the budget that the director had and with the talent he had, I think he's pulled off a really unique movie, unlike anything that I have seen this year. It's certainly not for everyone, and I think if you like your meat and potatoes sort of horror, this movie might not cut it, might frustrate you. If you want things to happen at a very quick pace, then this movie once again might not be your thing. It's not a particularly long movie at all, about an hour and a half, and it does take a bit of time to get where it needs to go. I will say this, there is no CGI gore in this one, so when the gore kicks off and the gore does happen, it's rather wonderful to see, and the first time we see a kill, so to speak, and I really don't want to give away too much details, actually left me kind of shocked, like kind of jaw dropped a little bit, because I didn't see it coming. I didn't expect it to be as visceral as it was as well. It's a very short review. There's not a lot I can do because I really don't want to spoil this one, but I just wanted to kind of stress, even after my interview, that I really did enjoy this. I know sometimes people think he's doing an interview, of course he's going to stroke off the director, which is true. You tend to word your questions in a way which makes you more amenable to that director, and also them a bit more open to answer your questions. But I genuinely think this is a rather remarkable little movie. Has an above indie aesthetic for an indie movie, and is definitely worthy of your time. So it's a high recommend from me. If I was to score this one out of 5 using the Netflix grades, which is 1 hated it, 2 didn't like it, 3 liked it, 4 really liked it, and 5 loved it, I would put this at a 4. I really liked this movie. I think you should check it out. It was a ton of fun for me. And like I say, it ticked all my geeky kind of artistic boxes, which I enjoy. Not in every horror movie, but when done right, I think it helps a lot, and it definitely works in this movie. So that is my review of Sunchoke. I hope you go and check it out. I'm going to take a short break. When I come back, I'm closing out the show right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been bonus episode number 19, which featured a review of the brand new horror movie Sunchoke, as well as an interview with its director, Ben Cressiman. I want to thank personally Ben Cressiman for taking a bit of time out of what is a very busy schedule promoting his new movie to come under the stairs and chat to me about the production and all the pitfalls that surround making a movie. It was fantastic chatting to him, and I can't wait to see what that guy comes back with next. I hope everyone goes and checks that movie out. I know it might not be for everyone. It does have a certain artistic flair, maybe a bit of art house in there, but I genuinely found the experience unsettling in parts, and I think it's beautifully shot. It's out on VOD and iTunes as of the day of this podcast dropping, which is August 5th, Friday, August 5th. So you can go out there, purchase it, send a bit of money that way to that director, so hopefully he can make more fantastic content and more horror movies somewhere down the line. Now, like I said at the start of this episode, this is the first of two bonus episodes you'll be getting this weekend ahead of the next scheduled Teapots episode. The other one is going to come on Sunday, that is Sunday the 7th of August, and it's going to feature another interview and review, this time with Joe Begos, director of The Mind's Eye, which is a brand new horror movie as well. It's come off its festival run. The movie is also released today, so if you want to check that movie out before the interview and review, you can do that on VOD and iTunes today, August 5th. I have nothing else left to say. These are short episodes. We will be back with another bonus episode on Sunday. Then a regular Teapots episode will be dropping on Monday. Please have a fantastic week, whatever you're doing and wherever you are. Remember, there is a multitude of ways to check out the show, and I'm not going into them on this outro right now, but thank you for the love and support. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, signing off.
Ever wasted words with you. Say